Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Bonjour. Buenos dias. Good in heaven. Howdy. How you? You hate when I do that.
No, I just laugh.
I'm trying to appeal to a wide array of audience.
That's all that matters.
You're appealing to a neighborhood in Danville.
It's a very appealing neighborhood.
See, I knew we could finally get you to admit on the air that you live in a gated community. You hate this show, don't you?
There are moments.
You're like, why do I wake up? Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. You need guys like Rick more than ever, who A, know what they're doing, and B, you can trust. Good sense, good feel for it. And, of course, I'm in the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, great staff, great deals. Kevin's alongside.
I am, and I'm just awaiting to see who's going to win our Penn State basketball tickets this week. For every home game this year, we have tickets to give away to the game.
And we'll give them away tomorrow at 3:06.
All you have to do is visit our Facebook page to find out how to win. It's really, really easy. So go to the Steve Jones Show on Facebook and find out how to win.
And they play Marshall at 4 o'clock on Saturday. We bring in Russ Rose, head volleyball coach, Penn State, 5-time national champion. Russ was just named Big Ten Coach of the Year. Russ, I know how much you cherish personal hardware.
You got it, baby.
Yeah, that's right. It's mantle time. All right, let's talk.
It appears as though we may have lost our feed there on that interview from Steve, so we'll take a break at this moment and try and hook everything back up, and we'll be right back on the Steve Jones Show.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with the Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with the Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Services. These guys are playing over at the holiday party tonight, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. It's my garage band.
The one that I received a faux invitation to?
Be happy you got an invitation. I told him not to send one. Yeah.
And who ended up looking cruel in that exchange?
Yeah, it's fine.
No, I mean, really, the Valley, they're turning on you. Have you sensed that?
No, not a bit. Not at all.
Wow. It must be hard to be living in a bubble. You okay there?
And if you go to the Steve Jones Show on Facebook, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Penn State and Marshall this weekend.
All right, let's bring Russ Rose back in here. Russ, you have a building process through the season. You now hit the next big stage. That's the NCAAs. So in your building process, do you like where you are right now?
No, you know, I think we had a number of the pieces in place the last couple of years. And, you know, I mean, we were in the Final Four last year, and the setter was injured, and I thought we still could have won. Had a couple of bad calls come into play. And, you know, probably the defining factor on a team like this is, you know, what is driving them to want to see if they can get back to the Final Four and improve on that performance. There's no guarantees. It's, you know, the road is always tough when you get into the NCAAs, and the selection of teams makes it challenging. So, you know, that's the intangible you don't really know. I mean, from a talent standpoint, I think we've got some good players, and for us to succeed, we have to be an exceptional team because there's other teams that have better players at certain positions.
Which then comes down to matchups. Have you felt good at times about some of the matchups you've been able to put together on the floor that, you know, gives you the advantage?
You know, I think we've, you know, I mean, I believe that we've had some that have been very favorable to us, and then there's been a few where, you know, last week with Nebraska, it seemed like their outside hitters were having a field day just hitting the ball over the top of Micah. A match earlier, too, when we were playing Northwestern, I didn't think we made a good adjustment. They had a little better matchup, so, you know, you can't change your matchup from game to game. So you might be able to rotate in the following set. But when you're in a game, you can't change the matchup, so you have to try and make some adjustments on the floor. And, you know, sometimes you have teams that can do that on their own, and other times you try and shape them to make that decision, and then you're challenged by, you know, are they good listeners, are they not good listeners? So, you know, I'd like to think that we're trying to get better in some areas, but, you know, the NCAA tournaments are, you know, they're exciting for the very simple purpose that, you know, it's the big boys playing against unknown teams, and the unknown teams have nothing to fear and just go out there and play really hard, and that's the part of the equation that you can't really prepare for.
In fact, this is something that in the NCAA tournament, I remember a couple of years ago, I was sitting there when Penn State played against Temple, and the next game was San Diego State, Northern Colorado. And Northern Colorado was really giving San Diego State a great game. And San Diego State has a couple of NBA guys in there, including Kawhi Leonard, who plays for San Antonio. And somebody said, why is Northern Colorado giving them a great game? And I said, you have to remember, that team won a championship. They know how to win.
Yeah.
And is that part of the mindset that has to be imparted to players, not the fan base, because the fan base does whatever, to impart to players, hey, look, they won, they know how to win. Is that part of it for you?
I think it's part of that, but, you know, I also just think, you know, certainly maybe more so in men's basketball, is there's good players that nobody knows about on every team.
Right.
And, you know, we're playing a Long Island team on Friday night that has 7 international kids on their roster.
Yeah.
So we don't know anything about them. We're watching a film of them, and they're just killing this other team. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, I don't know what they were seeded, but I don't like the matchup.
Right.
So.
Exactly. I mean, in other words, and this is all, it's part of a guessing game for you right now, right?
Oh yeah. You know, we have to be very careful. And, you know, it's easy for players to think they're okay because they're, you know, they're second in the country and they won the conference, but that doesn't mean anything if you're not ready to play your next game.
Right. Exactly right. And then the next part of this, what kind of leadership do you have, and does that come to the front now for you as a coach where you rely a little bit on that?
Well, I mean, we have three seniors on the floor that have been playing together for 4 years, so
yeah.
I wouldn't say any one of them is the true leader of the unit, but you'd like to think that between Deja, Katie Slay, and Ace Scott, that they could make good decisions as a collective group to assist the team. You know, so I don't really feel that we have somebody who can really grab the team by the shirt collar and shake them a little bit when they need to be woke up. But I think these guys at least have a little better handle on some of the things they've learned over the years. And, this is, even if you've got a top team, you're nervous because 25-point rally score games, anything can happen.
Exactly. The Big Ten. Do you feel in terms of the competitive nature, making sure that you have to be mentally tough every single night out? Did the Big Ten give you that as you went through the season?
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten this year was the toughest it's been in the, 26 years that I've been coaching in the conference. You know, top to bottom, there were, teams every night that if you didn't play well, you were in trouble of going home. So, for us to have the success we had just meant that we could handle those distractions. We played four or five locations on the road where they had their largest crowds of the year. So, those are things that bode well for your team, demonstrating they have some good maturity. Now, the question is, what do you do when, you're a real favorite and the other team's good? In all of the matches in the Big Ten, even though we might have been favored, we also knew that every team in the Big Ten can beat you.
You do a lot of things in weekends, Russ. It's, usually a Friday, Saturday. Every once in a while it's Wednesday, Saturday, but a Friday, Saturday. Dean Smith, I was in a press conference with him once, and he was talking about how he approached the NCAA tournament. And he said, look, and this was, I was in the Syracuse region at the time. He said, we play tournaments where we have to win a couple of games. So I always tell them, okay, let's just take care of this weekend. Let's win the Syracuse tournament. Then next weekend, I'm going to tell them, let's try and win the Meadowlands tournament. Then the final one, wherever the final four is, let's win the New Orleans tournament. How do you break it down? Do you try to break it down, hey, let's win the weekend, or is it just all about let's win Friday, survive advance, and then survive advance Saturday?
Well, I think more like that than, Coach Smith's thing was a little bit different. But when, he was the number one seed, he had to be looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way except we all have that little insecurity that we don't know how our team's going to play.
Right.
But certainly, I look at it as it's one match at a time. I'm spending, it's what, Wednesday, I'm still looking at Long Island. I'm not looking at potential opponents for Saturday.
Right.
I'm not going to start thinking about Utah if I haven't beaten Long Island.
Exactly.
If I beat Long Island, then I got to start thinking about Utah.
Right.
If Yale beats Utah.
Right. See, and that's exactly why I posed the question. I just want, each coach has their own mindset. So I just want to establish for the audience what your mindset is and how you will go about it as opposed to what another approach happened to be.
Right.
Right. At 7:30 on Friday night, Penn State, LIU, the two
yep.
winners then meet in Rec Hall 7:30 on Saturday. So,
yep.
As always, wish you nothing but the best, my friend. It is great talking with you.
That is Russ Rose. Women's volleyball coach extraordinaire, 5 national titles.
He's done something right.
Well, he's trying to get a handle on personnel for tomorrow night. You can relate.
First games of the year are very, very difficult.
See how I tied you and a great coach together?
Thank you.
Where I put you in the same boat.
That's all right. I'm going to take care of all that problem tomorrow at 3:35 when Tim Foer, the head coach of the Shikellamy Braves basketball team, joins us. I'll be well prepared at that point. Hey, I know you're not a huge Olympic fan or Olympic sport fan, but I think this is big not only for the Olympics, but also for the sport of skiing in the country, in the United States. Lindsey Vonn is going to race this weekend. She's tested her knee during a training session, held up really well, did not have any swelling, so she's going to go out there and ski. And that's great news for the skiing community as well as for the Olympics in the United States, because she's a name that even people that don't follow skiing recognize right away.
Okay, Thursday Night Football, which will get higher ratings in the Olympics, coming up
that's
tonight.
Debatable tonight.
Yeah.
That's debatable.
Be careful if I were you.
Jacksonville and Houston, is that what it is?
Yeah, the college game tonight, Cincinnati and Louisville.
I think I'd rather watch Cincinnati-Louisville.
I'm telling you right now, she can ski down the mountain naked. And Houston and Jacksonville still gets.
I don't know about that.
Higher ratings.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, she's going too fast.
I'm not so sure about that.
Going too fast. All right.
Tiger may have something to say about that.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not really in a position to say much to anybody. okay. All right. So Lindsey Vonn will be skiing this weekend in a race that nobody outside of Austria will see. Do I have that right? Well, the Olympics will be in Sochi. What are the dates of the Olympics this year? Do we know?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I have to look it up. Hang on one second.
Is it all in February?
I think it's all in February, but I'll find out.
All right. Well, Dave Ritchie's on the phone, and I'm sure he wants to talk to you. So go ahead. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steve. How are you? I hope you had a nice holiday.
Great holiday. How about you, Dave?
Well, it was fantastic. Probably the best part of was the pre-holiday, the Wisconsin win. That was fantastic. One of the greatest games that I think I've watched Penn State play. So, congratulations on a great call.
Yeah, that was thank you. That was a signature game, without question. The way they from start to finish, and it was nice to have a little Sealands Grove touch there at the end.
Yes, yeah, it sure was. I was glad for Ryan because we're all rooting for him here in the back. Get two interceptions in that last game was fantastic, especially the last one to end the game. So, I had a comment. I heard that you were worried that the Jacksonville and the Houston game would outdraw everything tonight, but you might have a problem because tonight is the live version of The Sound of Music. I believe it's on NBC, so that's going to be a tough one to beat.
Game over right there.
Carrie Underwood tonight.
Yep.
Live version, so. Sound of Music. Okay.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I know how it ends.
Yeah, but I still want to watch that more than I want to watch Jacksonville and Houston. I mean, and I have a friend who's a Jacksonville fan. I'm sorry, I'm not that excited about this game. This is one of those games that you look at the schedule and the NFL Network went, oh man.
No, they have to put Jacksonville on. They are contractually obligated that each of the 32 teams gets a primetime spot, whether it's Sunday, Thursday, or Monday.
David, would you even waste room on your DVR for this game?
Jacksonville's on a run. You know, you never know. Sometimes you have to root for a team that hasn't had a lot of success. And Houston, big disappointment this year. I probably will not watch it, but I don't think I'm going to watch The Sound of Music either. So,
oh come on, this is it's a big night for Georg von Trapp. Come on,
yeah.
Listen, I'm already watching a team that hasn't done well this year every Sunday, David.
Yeah, well, I feel bad for you, Kevin. That's tough. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, Kevin. This is what our 16th season together. So
I think isn't this 17 now?
17, yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty
obviously
bad.
There's a year that Dave wanted to forget.
1 through 16, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped out. I love the basketball season, and although my dad used to say the older you get, the faster time flies, I have to agree with him because it's hard to believe that basketball season's here already. So it'll be something that it helps in those boring December, January, and February nights when there's not a lot to do. We get to have fun on the radio, Kevin. So I'm looking forward to
that. Well, just remember for Kevin, this is a little bit of a struggle, okay? It's not August.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'll let you guys. I'm probably going to run out of cell towers here pretty soon. I'm on the other side of Treverton.
Okay.
I'm surprised I can even pick up 1070 over there, but that's where I'm headed.
Come on, man.
Good time, all right? The rest of the show. And I love listening to both of you, all right?
Thank the world of you, Dave. And remember, right, we are the 10,000-watt flamethrower, baby. All right?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, down to 1,000, so.
Hey, don't tell them.
All right.
Talk to you tomorrow,
care.
Chief.
All right. Kevin the Chief tomorrow night. Kevin freely admits he knows nothing about either team.
Actually, anybody that's listened to basketball broadcasts with me would already know that, so.
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
No, that's fine. By the way, I do know, though, that the Olympics runs February 6th to the 23rd.
I got a lot of road games then. Fabulous. All right. Maybe we can watch ice dancing.
Actually, maybe that should be our topic. What are you going to watch in the Olympics? You can call in the next half hour and tell us.
February 24th.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Jeez. Another show destroyer here.
Oh, come on. You're not going to do your best Bob Costas?
No. The last time I saw Bob, he and I had a nice conversation, you know, about a variety of things. It was nice. So, you're mad now, aren't you?
No, not at all. No, I'm just thinking ahead. It's 63 days to the Olympics.
Oh, brother.
And, well, have you watched any NBC lately? I mean, they are... They're promoting the heck out of it. And I get it. I mean, I don't blame them, but they are.
Yeah.
But being a hockey fan, you mean to tell me you're not going to watch hockey? Olympic hockey?
Oh, yeah, I'll watch Olympic hockey, sure, okay. because there'll be no other hockey on.
Right. That's exactly right.
But you're also, to be honest with you, you're also in the thick of the college basketball season at that point. It's in February for a reason. It's not because the weather's perfect in Russia around the Black Sea at that time. It was put in February for the American ratings. That's a sweeps month. November and February and May are the three sweeps months every year for television. That's how they set the ad rates for the coming year. That's why the Super Bowl is in February, and that is why the Olympics are in February. There are simple answers to these things, and those are the simple answers. I mean, they can have the Olympic Games in January, for goodness sakes. It's cold enough there. In fact, if they had Sochi, they could probably have the Olympics in August.
Well, you know, and it does show you exactly.
We're in Siberia. Welcome to Siberia and the August Olympics.
It does show you, though, how much the Olympic Committee is concerned with the U.S. television audience as opposed to the television audience around the world, because they try and plan it for February so that the American network can have it right in their sweeps.
Well, exactly, because that's where they're getting the majority of their money.
Right.
I can tell you right now, TV China is not like, they're paying a nominal fee from sea to shining sea. I mean, it's all they got. They have a lot of money. American money. American money is what makes the Olympics go. It's what it's been the entire time.
So we didn't have to waste a lot of time today talking about the Jameis Winston case. We just did not, because there would be no charges. And the problem, and I heard the prosecutor talk about this, the problem they have is this. They asked whether or not her story was credible. And he didn't really go down that road, but he did say this. And if you read the search warrant and affidavits, there are a lot of holes in her story. And he said, look, he said, and this happens. He said, we get holes in stories. He said, but we're able to fill the holes with evidence. The problem in this case is that we couldn't fill the holes with evidence. So no charges. There's also a second DNA. As well. But that is, so he goes to the championship game. Florida State left today, by the way, for the championship game. They will play Duke. They are 4-touchdown favorites. They're expected to be in cruise control for this thing and get themselves to the national championship game in the Rose Bowl. Ohio State, different road, tougher game. Michigan State, better opponent. They will play. Of course, Missouri plays Auburn. I do not like the conversation at this time of the year with, should a one-loss SEC team jump an undefeated BCS team? Absolutely not. Never. There's too much placed on the fact that they're from the SEC as the champion. There's an automatic birthright. I want to ask all the SEC fans this. And the SEC, by the way, has competed extremely well against the Big Ten. The only Big Ten team that really has had any legitimate success against the SEC is Penn State. Beat LSU, beat Tennessee, you know, all within the last 10 years. And beat newcomer Texas A&M as well, all within the last 10 years. So Penn State's had SEC success over the years. But if your conference is so great, which many of the national pundits tell you over and over again, it's the gold standard, it's the gold standard. And I understand how good they've been. All right? Don't forget, by the way, to visit the Facebook page for our Penn State Marshall tickets. We'll be on our Facebook page. We'll tell you about the winner tomorrow at 306. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. If the SEC is so great, why is it that two middle to slightly upper teams in the Big 12 have entered your conference and had extreme success early? Missouri's in the championship game. Texas A&M. Been a threat. Beat Alabama last year in Tuscaloosa. Can somebody answer me that question? The problem I have with the SEC is this. I do know the quality of the football is really, really good. That's a given. We know that. But they don't. Outside of Alabama and LSU, I want to give LSU credit for this as well. They don't have the guts to go anywhere and play. Look at Auburn. Auburn, all 4 9 conference games were at home. All four at home. Now, when you look at Auburn and Ohio State as an example, they both played a Pac-12 team, and Auburn did play a better Pac-12 team. They played Washington State, which is better than Cal. Cal was in Berkeley, and of course, we have just established Washington State had to go to the Plains to play. But my question is Alabama's a great, great win. No question about it. That's better than any win that Ohio State has, no doubt. Their loss is to LSU. Ohio State, for 2 years, hasn't lost a game. Now, if you're just basing it on this season, they didn't lose a game this season. So, in other words, all 12 times they went out, they won. Auburn didn't do that. Now, is a loss to LSU, are they better than any opponent on the Big Ten schedule? I'm not so sure. LSU struggled this year. And their defense was not quite as good this year. I don't know whether they'll match up with it. Of course, it's a little bit different LSU team now because Zach Mettenberger's out. How about that quarterback thing? How much has the draft changed in the last 2 weeks, huh? You know, we talked about quarterbacks. Kev, Aaron Murray and Zach Mettenberger both have torn ACLs. And Mariota's going back to Oregon.
I'm amazed at how things have changed in the quarterback's part alone.
I mean, your idea of tanking the season, which is just horrible.
Doesn't sound so bad now, does it? Not as many quarterbacks to choose from if you're in need of a quarterback.
So, in other words, you should tank the season to get to do what?
Make sure you get the good quarterback.
Yeah, who is that?
If you need a good quarterback.
Who is that?
I don't know. They pay people a lot more money than me to go pick the right quarterback.
I'm not sure who that is. I'm not a big Manziel guy in the NFL. I'm waiting to see if he proves me wrong. All right? But I have not been big on him going to the NFL. But the SEC doesn't go out and play anybody except for Alabama, LSU. Let's give them complete credit. I mean, Florida, yeah, they play Florida State. Okay, that is a legit non-conference game. Okay, and then they're now playing Miami. So, yeah, so Florida's stuck. Florida hasn't played a game north of the Mason-Dixon line since 1965, but when your non-conference games are Florida State and Miami, and really, you know, there was a point where they didn't play Miami and people were getting on their case about it. South Carolina? No. Georgia? No. Ole Miss? Tennessee? Mississippi State? No. They don't go out and play anybody outside of If a college basketball team scheduled the way the SEC, the majority of the SEC schedules, they would never get into the tournament. Yet in football, they are given complete credit for playing, our conference schedule is. And not only that, they play 8 conference games and not 9. There are people that have told me privately, they say the SEC's down this year. Now, Alabama will go and play people. LSU's gone out, they play people. They played Oregon in Arlington. They went up to West Virginia, played a game. I mean, so they haven't been afraid to go to somebody else's venue and play some ball. But the other teams down there? No. Auburn had 4 home games in non-conference. So Auburn ended up playing a schedule where 8 out of the 12 games they played were at home. And it wasn't exactly a killer of a non-conference schedule. The Penn State's had experience in this area. Penn State went down, played Tennessee back-to-back years. There were supposed to be 2 return games in the 70s in Beaver Stadium. Neither game happened. Tennessee canceled the series. Auburn. Do you want to know why Penn State played Brown in 1983? Ever wonder why Brown was put on there?
I just figured it had something to do with Paterno.
It was supposed to be a home and away with Auburn, and Auburn canceled it. So now they had to scramble around to find a team to play. They got Brown to fill the spot. You didn't know they were scheduled to play Auburn, did you?
No, I did not know.
Now, I will bet almost everybody in this valley didn't know that. They were supposed to play Auburn,
They had to scramble around, and they had to get teams to replace Auburn on the 83 and 84 schedules. Brown was the one in 83 that replaced Auburn. How about that? Because they won't. They do not have the courage to venture out early. You will see the SEC eventually transition to a 9-game schedule. Why? Because the SEC network starts next year and they need inventory. Does it sound skeptical on my part? No, I'm giving you realistic answers. I'm not being skeptical. But they are getting away with... Now, and I'll say this. The way they win bowl games, that helps back them up. Just trying to be fair here. The way they win bowl games does back them up. But they get away a lot on reputation because we're the SEC. Okay. How about Boise State a couple years ago? Georgia finally played them. They played them down at the Georgia Dome. Boise won. And so this idea that a one-loss SEC team must be better than an undefeated Big Ten team. We all can speculate and guess. But I'm telling you right now that if Ohio State played Auburn on a neutral field and not at Jordan-Hare, Ohio State would beat them.
Steve, I want to ask you this because I just looked it up on NFLDraftScout.com. They kind of have a mock draft for the 2014. You were talking about quarterbacks earlier. Who do you think they have listed as the number one overall quarterback, who ironically enough is the number one overall quarterback to be picked as well? Or the number one overall player to be picked, rather.
I would guess Teddy Bridgewater.
That is correct. Bridgewater's picked it at, projected to be a first-round first pick. Now, let's see how deep you can go. Who's two in the quarterback list?
Who's two?
Who would be the second quarterback pick?
Well, since Mettenberger and Murray have to be off the list now. I mean,
well, they're still on the list, but they're not nearly as high.
Yeah, they can't be as high. They have torn ACLs.
Right.
I mean, they're both going to be drafted. It's
right.
Just going to... Okay. My guess is would probably be McCarron.
McCarron checks in as the seventh quarterback picked in the second or third round overall. Derek Carr, Fresno State.
Yeah, I had him third.
Manziel is third.
All right, I had Manziel fourth, so I had McCarron up too high.
And Hudley is from UCLA.
Is the
end of the first or an early second round pick before it gets to Mettenberger, right, who still is a second round pick even with an injury.
Yeah, Mettenberger's going to be a good quarterback, though. I like him. I like him a lot.
6'5", 235. He's hard to ignore.
Yeah, and he's really come on and played well. The ACL will set him back. I'll be honest with you, and watch him tonight. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't light me up. I watched Andrew Luck when he was a senior. Mm-hmm. I watched RG3 when he was a senior. And you know what I thought of Russell Wilson.
Sure.
Okay, I voted Russell Wilson preseason player of the year of the Big Ten before he'd ever played a Big Ten game. Okay? I remember Ron Vanderlinden asking me why I did that. And I said, geez, Ron. And I said, who else in the conference has 104 career touchdown passes? He goes, eh, that's a good point.
And before we head to break, I want to throw this name out for you and see if you can tell me a little bit more. I haven't seen him play. I've heard of him, and I love his size. At 6'6", 254, Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech.
Don't like him. I don't like him. His footwork is okay at best. He is not accurate throwing the football. And he's far too inconsistent. He's a guy that I really would not put on my list.
They have him in as a fifth or sixth round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just
Boy, that size, though, it's it would have to be tempting for...
No, but I don't go on that stuff. Russell Wilson's... I mean, when I stood next to Russell Wilson, we stand eye to eye. He's 5'11".
Right. I remember you saying.
He's 5'11". Guess what? He can play. Drew Brees, 6 feet tall, can play. I mean, I'm looking for guys that understand the offense, see all the chess pieces, know how to do things pre-snap, and then when they throw the ball, they're accurate. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Teddy Bridgewater will be on display tonight. You know what's interesting is that my understanding is that on Sun Draft Boards, that if he decides to come out, Blake Bortles of UCF would be the number two guy on the board. How about that one?
Let's see. Who do they have on the... Who does NFL Draft Scout have available as... they have Clowney as the number two pick.
Yeah, that's fine. You can make your own mistakes.
Anthony Barr is the number three.
I like him a lot. UCLA, outside guy, quick first step, aggressive. He's a guy that you pick him, you're going to get a lot of value out of him if he's healthy.
Who did you say you were thinking was going to be a high pick?
Among quarterbacks, if he comes out, Blake Bortles might be number two on the list.
They may not list him on there because he's not a definite.
Right, he's not a definite. Yeah, he's a redshirt junior.
They even have, this is funny, they even have rankings for the 2017 draft.
Fabulous. Who's number one?
Winston. Hackenberg is two. Ironically, the picks are all quarterback, 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 quarterback. They go the first 25 picks are all quarterbacks.
Now, Winston's eligible for next year's draft, though, right?
Well, they list him here as a redshirt freshman. Is that incorrect?
Right. That means after next season, he's eligible for next year's draft.
Oh! I see what you're saying. If he comes out,
yeah, he'd be eligible.
If he doesn't stay for the whole time,
he'd be eligible for the 2015 draft.
Right. Right.
Kevin, he's not staying.
Not arguing with you.
All right. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at REW Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick Weibel a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. And hello, Lee. I hope they're at the party tonight. Please tell them I said hi. They're two of the nicest people on the face of the earth. And Rick is somebody I would trust with my money any day. Big party tonight. I was invited. Felt like it was a faux invitation.
We'll miss you. No, really, we will.